Good evening. I hope that you are comfortable getting tucked into bed and ready for a story to carry you away into another land. This is Goodnight Stories with Nick, and tonight we'll be traveling far into the world of the Norgolian Empire. We'll be reading the first chapter from Jim Tice's The Eye of Argon, first published in the fanzine Osfin No. 10 in 1970. Grab a cup of tea, maybe turn down the lights, sit back, and relax. The Eye of Argon by Jim Tice. The weather-beaten trail wound ahead into the dust-racked climes of the barren land which dominates large portions of the Norgolian Empire. Age-worn hoofprints, smothered by the sifting sands of time, shone dully against the dust-splattered crust of earth. The tireless sun cast its parching rays of incandescence from overhead, halfway through its daily revolution. Small rodents scampered about, occupying themselves in the daily accomplishments of their dismal lives. Dust sprayed over three heaving mounts in blinding clouds, while they bore the burdensome cargoes of their struggling overseers.
"Prepare to embrace your creators in the Stygian haunts of hell, barbarian," gasped the first soldier. "Only after you have kissed the fleeting stead of death, wretch," returned Grignir. A sweeping blade of flashing steel riveted from the massive barbarian's hide-enameled shield as his rippling right arm thrust forth, sending a steel-shod blade to the hilt into the soldier's vital organs. The disemboweled mercenary crumpled from his saddle and sank to the clouded sward, sprinkling the parched dust with crimson droplets of escaping life fluid. The enthused barbarian swiveled about, his shock of fiery red hair tossing robustly in the humid air currents as he faced the attack of the defeated soldier's fellow in arms.
"Damn you, barbarian!" shrieked the soldier as he observed his comrade in death.
A gleaming scimitar smote a heaving blow against the renegade's spiked helmet, bringing a heavy cloud over the accordion's misting brain. Shaking off the effects of the pounding blow to his head, Grignir brought down his scarlet-streaked edge against the soldier's crudely forged hauberk, clanging harmlessly to the left side of his opponent. The soldier's stead whinnied as he directed the horse back from the driving blade of the barbarian. Grignir leashed his mount forward as the hoarsely piercing battle cry of his wilderness-bred race resounded from his grinding lungs. A twirling blade bounced harmlessly from the mighty thief's buckler as his rolling right arm cleft upward, sending a foot of blinding steel ripping through the Cimmerian's exposed gullet. A gasping gurgle from the soldier's writhing mouth as he tumbled to the golden sand at his feet and wormed agonizingly in his deathbed. Grignir's emerald green orbs glared lustfully at the wallowing soldier struggling before his chestnut-swirled mount. His scowling voice reverberated over the dying form in a tone of mocking mirth.
"You city-bred dogs should learn not to antagonize your better."
Reining his wary mount ahead, Grignir resumed his journey to the Norgolian city of Gorzom, hoping to discover wine, women, and adventure to boil the wild blood coursing through his savage veins. The trek to Gorzom was forced upon Grignir when the soldiers of Kryn were leashed upon him by a faithless concubine he had wooed. His scandalous activities throughout the Cimmerian city had unleashed throngs of havoc and uproar among its refined patricians, leading them to tack a heavy reward over his head. He had barely managed to escape through the back entrance of the inn he had been guzzling in, as a squad of soldiers pounced upon him. After spilling a spout of blood from the leader of the mercenaries as he dismembered one of the officer's arms, he retreated to his mount to make his way towards Gorzom, rumored to contain hordes of plunder and many young wenches for any man who has the backbone to wrest them away. Chapter 2. Arriving after dusk in Gorzom, Grignir descended down a dismal alley, reining his horse before a beaten tavern. The red-haired giant strode into the dimly lit hostelry, reeking of foul odors and cheap wine. The air was heavy with chalking fumes, spewing from smoldering torches encased within the den's earth-packed walls. Tables were clustered with groups of drunken thieves and cutthroats, tossing dice or making love to willing prostitutes. Eyeing a slender female crouched alone at a nearby bench, Grignir advanced, wishing to wholesomely occupy his time. The flickering torches cast weird shafts of luminescence dancing over the half-naked harlot of his choice, her stringy orchid twines of hair swaying gracefully over the lithe, opaque nose as she raised a half-drained mug to her pale red lips. Glancing upward, the alluring complexion noted the stalwart giant as he rapidly approached. A faint glimmer sparked from the pair of deep blue ovals of the amorous female as she motioned toward Grignir, enticing him to join her. The barbarian seated himself upon a stool at the wench's side, exposing his body, naked save for a loincloth, brandishing a long steel broadsword, an iron-spiraled battle helmet, and a thick leather sandals, to her unobstructed view. "Thou hast need to occupy your time, barbarian?" questioned the female.
"Only if something worth offering is within my reach," stated Grignir as his hands crept to embrace the tempting female who welcomed them with open willingness.
"From where do you come, barbarian, and by what are you called? Gasped the complying wench as Grignir smothered her lips with the blazing touch of his flaming mouth. The engrossed Titan ignored the queries of the inquisitive female, pulling her towards him and crushing her sagging nipples to his yearning chest. Without struggle, she gave in, winding her soft arms around the harshly bronzed hide of Grignir's corded shoulder blades as his calloused hands caressed her firm, protruding breasts.
"You make love well, wench," admitted Grignir as he reached.
As he reached for the vessel of potent wine his chariot had been quaffing. A flying foot caught the mug Grignir had taken hold of, sending its blood-red contents sloshing over a flickering crescent, leashing tongues of bright orange flame to the foot-trodden floor.
"Remove yourself, sirrah! The wench belongs to me," blabbered a drunken soldier, too far consumed by the influences of his virile brew to take note of the superior size of his adversary.
Grignir lithely bounded from the startled female, his face lit up to an ashen red ferocity, and eyes locked in a searing feral blaze toward the swaying soldier.
"To hell with you, braggart!" bellowed the angered accordion as he hefted his finely honed broadsword.
The staggering soldier clumsily reached towards the pommel of his dangling sword, but before his hands ever touched the oaken hilt, A silvered flash was slicing the heavy air. The thews of the savage's lashing right arm bulged from the glistening bronzed hide as his blade bit deeply into the soldier's neck, loping off the confused head of his senseless tormentor. With a nauseating thud, the severed oval topped to the floor as the segregated torso of Grignir's bovine antagonist swayed, then collapsed in a pool of swirled crimson. In the confusion, the soldier's fellows confronted Grignir with unsheathed cutlasses directed toward the latter's scowling makeup.
"The slut should have picked his quarry more carefully," roared the victor in a mocking baritone growl as he wiped his... "The slut should have picked his quarry more carefully," roared the victor in a mocking baritone growl as he wiped his dripping blade in the prostate form and returned it to its scabbard.
"The fool should have shown more prudence. However, you shall rule your actions while rotting in the pits," stated one of the sprawled soldier's comrades.
Grignir's hand began to remove his blade from its leather housing, but retarded the motion in face of the blades waving before his face.
"Dismiss your hand from the hilt, barbarian, or you shall find a foot of steel sheathed in your gizzard."
Grignir weighed his position, observing his plight, whereupon he took the soldier's advice as the only logical choice. To attempt to hack his way from the present predicament could only warrant certain death. He was of no mind to bring upon his own demise if an alternate path presented itself. The will to necessitate his life forced him to yield to the superior force in hopes of a moment of carelessness later upon the part of his captors in which he could effect a more plausible means of escape.
"You may steady your arms. I will go without a struggle."
"Your decision is a wise one, yet perhaps you would have been better off had you forced death." The soldier's mouth wrinkled to a sadistic grin of knowing mirth as he prodded his prisoner on with his sword point. After an indiscriminate period of marching through the slinking alleyways and dim moonlitted streets, the procession confronted a massive seraglio. The palace area was surrounded by an iron grating with a lush garden upon all sides. The group was admitted through the gilded gateway, and Grignir was led along a stone pathway bordered by plush vegetation, lustfully enhanced by the moon's shimmering rays. Upon reaching the palace, the group was granted entrance, and several minutes of explanation led through several winding corridors to a richly draped chamber. Confronting the group was a short, stocky man seated upon a golden throne. Tapestries of richly draped regal blue silk covered all walls of the chamber, while the steps leading to the throne were plated with sparkling white ivory. The man upon the throne had a naked wench seated at each of his arms and a trusted advisor seated in back of him. At each corner of the chamber, a guard stood at attention with upraised pikes supported in their hands, golden chainmail adorning their torsos, and bared helmets emitting scarlet plumes enshrouding their heads. The man rose from his throne to the dais surrounding it. His plush turquoise robe dangled loosely from his chunky frame. The soldiers surrounding Grignir fell to their knees with heads bowed to the stone masonry of the floor in fearful dignity to their sovereign liege.
"Explain the purpose of this intrusion upon my chateau."
"Your serenity, resplendent in noble grandeur, we have brought this yokel before you," the soldier gestured toward Grignir, "for the redress of your all-knowing wisdom in judgment regarding his fate."
"Down on your knees, lout, and pay proper homage to your sovereign," commanded the pudgy noble of Grignir.
"By the surly beard of Mrifk, Grignir kneels to no man,"
scowled the massive barbarian. "You dare to deal this blasphemous act to me? You are indeed brave, stranger, yet your valor smacks of foolishness. I find you to be the only fool, sitting upon your pompous throne, enhancing the rolling flabs of your belly in the midst of your elaborate luxury," and the soldier, standing at Grignir's side, smote him heavily in the face with the flat of his sword, cutting short the harsh words and knocking his battered helmet to the masonry with an echoing clang. The paunchy noble's sagging round face flushed suddenly pale, then pastily lit up to a lustrous cherry-red radiance. His lips trembled with malicious rage while emitting a muffled, sibilant gibberish. His sagging flabs rolled like a tub of upset jelly, then compressed as he sucked in his gut in an attempt to conceal his softness. The prince regained his stature, then spoke to the soldiers surrounding Grignir, his face conforming to an ugly expression of sadistic humor. "Take this uncouth heathen to the vault of misery, and be sure that his agonies are long and drawn out before death can release him." "As you wish, sire, your command shall be heeded immediately," answered the soldier on the right of Grignir as he stared into the barbarian's seemingly unaffected face. The adviser, seated in the back of the noble, slowly rose and advanced to the side of his master, motioning the wenches seated at his sides to remove themselves. He lowered his head and whispered to the noble,
"Eminence, the punishment you have decreed will cause much misery to this scum, yet it will last only a short time, then release him to a land beyond the sufferings of the human body. Why not mellow him in one of the subterranean vaults for a few days, then send him to life labor in one of your buried mines? To one such as he, a life spent in the confinement of the Stygian pits will be an infinitely more appropriate and lasting torture."
The noble cupped his drooping double chin in the folds of his brimming palm, meditating, and for a moment upon the rationality of the counselor's words, then raised his shaggy brown eyebrows and turned toward the advisor, eyes aglow. "As always, Agafund, you speak with great wisdom. Your words ring of great knowledge concerning the nature of one such as he," saith the king. The noble turned toward the prisoner with a noticeable shimmer reflecting in his frog-like eyes and his lips contorting to a greasy grin. "I have decided to void my previous decree. The prisoner shall be removed to one of the palace's underground vaults. There he shall stay until I have decided that he has sufficiently simmered, whereupon he is to be allowed to spend the remainder of his days at labor in one of my mines." Upon hearing this, Grignir realized that his fate would be far less merciful than death to one such as he, who is used to roaming the countryside at will. A life of confinement would be more than his body and mind could stand up to. This type of life would be immeasurably worse than death. "I shall never understand the ways of your twisted civilization. I simply defend my honor, and I am condemned to life confinement by a pig who sits on his royal ass wooing whores and knows nothing of the affairs of the land he imagines to rule," lectures Grignir. "Enough of this. Away with the slut before I loose my control. Seeing the peril of his position, Grignir searched for an opening. Crushing prudence to the sward,
he plowed into the soldier at his left arm, taking hold of his sword and bounding to the dais supporting the prince before the startled guards could regain their composure. Agfund leapt Grignir and his sire, but found a sword blade permeating the length of his ribs before he could loose his weapon. The counselor slumped to his knees as Grignir slid his crimsoned blade from Agfund's ribcage. The fat prince stood undulating in insurmountable fear before the edge of the fiery-maned comet, his flabs of jellied blubber pulsating to and fro in ripples of flowing terror. "Where is your wisdom and power now, your majesty?" growled Grignir. Oh, sorry. "Where is your wisdom and power now, your majesty?" growled Grignir. The prince went rigid as Grignir discerned him glazing over his shoulder. He he swilived to note the cause of the noble's attention, raised his sword over his head, and prepared to leash a vicious downward cleft, but fell short as the haft of a steel-rimmed pike clashed against his unguarded skull. Then blackness and solitude. Silence, enshrouding, and ever-peaceful reigned supreme. "Before me, sirrah, before me as always," nobly cackled. This brings us to the end of chapter 2, where we will pause for tonight, and I hope that you drift away delicately and gently into dreamland, where maybe you too will dream of half-dressed wenches, pudgy nobles, and noble, growling Grignir. Join us next time for chapter 3.